The day before Thanksgiving was the real celebration for an American family living in the occupied West Bank. 16-year-old Mohammed Ibrahim was released from nearly 10 months in an Israeli prison, arrested in February in the dead of night at his family home for allegedly throwing stones at Israeli vehicles. His family was unable to speak or even see him for his entire detention. The American embassy advocated for his release after his health had declined. Finally, last Wednesday, he was freed. Amna spoke with Mohammed and his father for an exclusive sit-down TV interview.
After more than 9 months in an Israeli jail, this was 16-year-old Mohammed Ibrahim's first hug with his father, freed and finally home. Back with his family in the occupied West Bank, he sat down with his father, Zahir Ibrahim, to speak to the NewsHour.
So, Mohammed, I have to start with you because a lot of people have been waiting to hear from you. What can you tell us about how you're doing and what it's like to be back home?
So good. I feel safe now. And I miss everyone and everything.
What was the very first thing that you did when you arrived back home, Mohammed?
I see my family.
Gave everybody a big hug. That's one thing that he did.
And Zahir, we saw that video of your first embrace with him after 9 months of being apart. What can you tell us about what that moment was like for you?
That was probably the best day of my life, the best moment of my life, you know, 9 months and a half, you know, haven't heard his voice or seen him, you know. So, you know, it was like from hell to heaven, you know, that second, it was, can't even express my feelings about it. The truth, when we first gave him a hug, you know, when you give him a hug, you can feel his belly, you can feel his body, his back, you know, he's very, very, very skinny. And we took him to the hospital to have him checked, you know, and he even asked us, am I dreaming? Am I really out? We told him, yes, you're out. It's done. It's over. You're back safe with your family.
Mohammed was just 15 years old when he was arrested in February from his family home in the middle of the night, charged with throwing objects at Israeli vehicles. His father says U.S. pressure, as Mohammed's health deteriorated, helped secure his release.
Most of these charges that they throw at these children are bogus charges. It was a pressure from the U.S. government and senators and congressmen. They played a big role in the release of Mohammed. You know, at the end, when the U.S. embassy visited the Mohammed 3 weeks ago, and they called me and they said that Mohammed, you know, I'm gonna just tell you straight out, he's not doing good. You know, he lost more weight, and you know, physically, mentally, he looks ill. Even the U.S. embassy feared for his life. You know, he said he's not doing good at all. And that's when we seen more movement, and that's when the lawyer went in. And things changed, you know. So then they said, you know, before something happens to him, he has to be released, and he got released.
We should underscore here, Mohammed is a U.S. citizen, right? Do you have an explanation that's satisfying to you about why it took U.S. authorities over 9 months to get him released?
Ambassador Huckabee called me, you know, after the release of Mohammed, and he says, you know, I'm sorry it took so long, you know. It's something we've been working on from day one. We didn't expect it to last this long. But I really think if the U.S. State Department wanted Mohammed released from the beginning, they could have put more pressure from day one. But I think they just let it slide till, you know, months and months and months. But when they seen his health, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And as you can tell from the pictures, you know, the before and after for Mohammed, before he got arrested and how he walked out, you know, there's a big difference, you know. His face size, you know, his body, his weight, you know, if you just by the pictures, you know, they say a lot of words. And what's sad is all the, you know, the whole, everybody in jail is the same situation, you know. You have another 300-400 kids in there that's going through the same thing that Mohammed was going through.
Back home, he is surrounded by family, showering him with love and plying him with home-cooked meals after the teen lost significant weight over the last several months.
Their food is basically junk and barely enough to survive. Scabies, stomach virus, you know, they went through a lot. You know, when he told me what they went through, it, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, this You know, this country will do that to individuals, you know, starve them almost to death. He had one of his mates that was in his same cell, you know, his same age that died in front of him in jail.
Zahir, just to clarify, are you saying that Mohammed saw another teenager who was with him in prison die in front of him?
He died in front of his eyes. He had the scabies, and he had a real bad stomach kind of virus. And they, you know, they asked for medical attention, but they never get it. So at one point, he just fainted and fell to the ground. And that was it. And they asked for medical attention for him, and he didn't get nothing. Then they pronounced him dead, you know. So this happened in front of his eye, you know, and this is a kid that was in his room.
The boy was 17-year-old Walid Khalid, a Palestinian teenager who died in Israeli custody in late March. And just moments after he was freed, Mohammed learned his cousin, 19-year-old Palestinian-American Saifullah Masalit, had been beaten to death by Israeli settlers in July while Mohammed was in prison.
You know, that was hard for Mohammed. You know, when he got the news, it was like, it was very hard. You know, we had to stop the car. He couldn't breathe. You know, we had to put water on his face. So, you know, these incidents, you know, has to stop, you know. The Israeli government has to stop all these Israeli settler attacks on these, on the towns around us, because every day is getting worse and worse, you know. You could be in your own house or a neighbor's house in the village, and you cannot be safe because you don't know who's going to come at night and attack your house or your family or your car. So this is the life that they live every day now here.
Every day for Mohammed now means rebuilding his new life and reconnecting with the old one.
Mohammed, we've also seen video of you reconnecting with your friends back in the United States. Talking to them on the phone. Can you tell us what you talked about with them, what that was like?
It was so good. I talked about them, about the jail, about anything, about everything. I ate and everything.
And Zahir, I know Mohammed turned 16. While he was in detention, and your family told us earlier you didn't celebrate his birthday, obviously, while he was still in jail. Do you have plans to celebrate his birthday now that he's free?
He just has to wait till his next birthday, maybe. it's good. We'll do a birthday every day for him as long as he's home, and that's, you know, so. You know, his grandmother's birthday was today, so we brought him cake for them today. So he got his cake today.
After everything you've been through, what's it like to have him sitting there next to you?
Oh, it feels good. And, you know, as a father, my duty is to keep him safe, you know, and make sure he stays safe. And, you know, get his weight back up and get him back to the States where he can, you know, he missed a year now of school. So he has to catch up on studying, you know, get his driver's license, get his part-time job and, you know, start his life.
Well, we know you're anxious to spend as much time as you can with him. We'll let you get back to that. We thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. That's Zahir and Mohammed Ibrahim. Mohammed, welcome back home.
Thank you. Thank you.